You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I drove down there the next day, knocked on her door. She answered the door. She was on in age. I said, Mrs. Durr. She looked at me. She said, yes. I said, I'm Eric Lambert. You don't remember me, but you were my bus matron in fourth grade. And you hit me with a belt. And I hated you ever since. But I'm a child of God now. And I want to tell you, I forgive you for beating me for what I had not done. She looked at me and said, I don't remember. I carried that bitterness for nothing. I was expecting, oh, Eric, I forgive you. She said, I don't remember. Good God from Zion. See, she forgot it. I didn't. The offended carries the scar longer than the offender. This is why God wants us to release people, because they're going on with their lives. And we're sitting here with our lips stuck out, incapable of joy, incapable of moving in the spirit, because we're holding. Let everybody go. Walk in love. Listen to what Paul says. The Galatian church was being troubled by Judaizers who said you can't just be saved. There's stuff you've got to do. And they were conflicted as they began to fall back into works. Paul grabs them here in the fifth chapter and he says, stand firm then and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Works cover up pain. Some of us keep doing work, 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 but we never sit down to deal with our hate. We just keep working, keep throwing dirt over the seed of bitterness. Oh, let it go. Let it go. There are many things the Holy Spirit can do, but he cannot take bitterness out your heart without your cooperation. And God tests us regularly by having us see that person. Paul says in verse 2 of Galatians 5, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, then Christ will be of no value to you at all. If you are just in here to do spiritual works, then Christ doesn't mean anything to you. We love to promote what we do rather than who we are. Oh, I'm a deacon. I'm a walking deacon. How else you supposed to get around if you don't walk? Y'all know me in these little phrases. He's a walking deacon. What the heck is a walking deacon? How else you? Are you a crawling deacon? People say, "Oh, come on, stand on your feet." What else you gonna stand on? Just say stand. Watch, everybody will stand on their feet. And so we're so much into works. But Paul says, and he uses the circumcision as a work. He said, if you let yourselves get so caught up into that, then Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. So the moment you slip into legal things, you must now keep the law. Several years ago, after Lee Marvin was being sued by his girlfriend, they came up with the common law type of thing that says that even if you are not married, if you've lived with somebody for 7 years, you're entitled to half of what they have. And so it became a big deal throughout America. And so many people who once were just living together and getting married in order to keep property in place and give that woman the security. Remember we said women look for security, men don't. That's why a man is a rolling stone. Wherever he lays his hat is his home. And when he dies, all he leaves you is alone. Hey, mama. Is it true what they said? Papa never worked a day in his life. And mama? Oh, but anyway, I had to let it work out. So, the difference between living together and marriage, listen to this. The difference between living together and marriage is mental commitment. That's all it is. There's no more legal reason to do it because you're still going to get 50% if you have 7 years. Now, drop off after five. It's cheaper to keep it. But now watch. When you're married, it's the mental commitment. You might look at somebody else and become enamored with their shape and their character and whatever, and envision nights of passion and times of connection. But you don't leave it because you know it's expensive. That beautiful car you have won't look good cut in half. You see, so it's that commitment. It's that mental commitment. You follow me? So Jesus says you've got to love God with the mind. Paul says when you allow yourself to get caught up into ritualistic stuff, if you just go get married to have regular sex, then you're not just getting the regular sex. You are also kept by the rest of marriage. In other words, it's not just the sex. It's bill paying. It's nightly discussions, and you can't put your feet on the furniture anymore, and you got to put everything in the cubby where it belongs. Everything has a place, and there's a place for everything. And, I mean, there's a whole lot to marriage that the premarital counselor don't tell you. And so what Paul is saying here then is if you go through one aspect of the law, then you're now guilty for all of it. See, it's more than just the religious observation. He says, if you are trying to be justified by the law, you have been alienated from Christ. So if your church work and your ministry and your gifting is the thing that drives you, you're missing the essence of why Christ came. Christ didn't come to make me a great preacher. He came to make me a son, and I'm a preacher because I want to be a good son. If you take the preaching away from me, I'm still a son. Lord, help me. Lord, I wish I had somebody that could hear me. What God did through his love was adopt me. I have a puppy, and my puppy is—he's great. His name's Disney, and when we picked him up from a breeder in Lancaster, he had 7 Bichons, and when we went to get him, there was only him and his brother. And when we walked up to the crate to pick one out, they looked identical. And so the owner says, well, you can pick one of them. And they were frolicking, playing, nipping at each other, doing puppy stuff. And he scooped up what we would call Disney and took him away. And the brother began to cry. Now, at that moment, I had to make a quick decision. Because my heart ain't good for that crying stuff. But I knew that my schedule and everything wouldn't allow for 2. So we scooped him up, and Sister Lambert was holding him when he took the picture. I took a picture, and he didn't make a sound. He just lay right there. And when you look at his face, if you see the picture now, he looked sad that he was being taken away from his brother.
And he came all the way home from Lancaster in the back seat in the dog carrier and did not make a sound. I said, oh, my God. Brought him all the way home, and that night he cried for his brother and family. He was, he did that for maybe 2 days. By the third day, he realized, wait a minute. I ain't in no crate no more. I got room to run. And these people buy me stuff. And they feed me. And the house is warm. And I'm not getting kibble to eat. And I lay my hands on him and pray for him. Every morning I go out to his world. I say, good morning, Disney. He walks over, sits at my feet, and he hears God in the name of Jesus, and he sits like that. And I lay my hands on him, and he will not move till he hears amen. When he hears amen, he starts jumping on me. When I look at him, I say, you know what? You don't miss your home, do you? Because you got a good home, and that's what God did. God scooped us up from Satan's cage and brought us, and we didn't know how good we had it. We didn't know what love was, but nothing's going to hurt us because God is inside of us. He's walking with us, and his angels are keeping us. One day he was in the garage with me, and I didn't have his leash on. So the garage door went out, rose up. And he ran out, and he got to the driveway and sat down. He said, I ain't no fool. I don't know what's over there, but I know what's in there. He turned around, walked right back in. And see, that's what it means to be a Christian. Do you know God don't have a leash on you? And some of us will run after every open door of the devil, and God just says, give him a minute. They'll come to themselves. When you start feeling the cold and the satanic power of disconnection and hatred, you'll turn around and run back to God and say, I want to feel the warmth of your love. You don't know what love is. Paul says, you are trying to be justified by the law. You're alienated from Christ, and you've fallen away from that grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for what we hope. Listen to his conclusion. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Brothers and sisters, some will say, oh, I have a tremendous amount of faith, but do you have love? Faith works through love. It cannot operate apart from love. Love is the key of the kingdom. It is the master key to the relationship with God, but it is the one area where we find our greatest deficit because we don't know what it is. The Apostle Paul's greatest difficulty was to teach love. I think that him and some of the other apostles would talk periodically because the world wasn't that large in their minds just yet. I think there was a collaboration between himself and Peter and John about specific issues that we find replicated throughout their writings. When Paul confronts the carnality of the church at Corinth, he tries to get them to walk in unity and harmony, but they're incapable of doing it because of church work. Gifted people fighting gifted people. Folks jockeying for a position. Prophetic people giving utterances without clarity or distinction. Ministry people moving in ministry without discipline or oversight. Then there is the disconnection from those who seemingly do not have an abundance of great gifts. The person who vacuums the floor doesn't seem to get the recognition of the choir leader or the person who leads the worship. And so Paul says we find ourselves ignoring the smaller gifts while we promote the larger ones. In chapter 12, he tries to identify those gifts and bring them into proper perspective. In chapter 14, he focuses on the prophetic move and the gifts of tongues and those communication gifts that we long for because everybody wants to say, God told me to tell you. Sandwiched, nestled safely between the gifts of 12 and the performance of gifts in 14 comes the great 13. Don, if you're up there, Don, you have 13 chapter of 1 Corinthians. Put it on the screen as we've discussed. Before you is the greatest passage of scripture that could have been given to us outside of John 3:16. And yet, we're incapable of walking. Our discussion on the family hinges on a profession of this passage. For love is the one thing that can be demonstrated to anyone that you encounter, friend, family, and foe. If you would take but a moment and position yourself so that you may see a screen and read in unison, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The apostle tries to instill a principle in us. And this is the reason I believe the Holy Spirit has him place this powerful teaching between gifts and use of gifts. And this same principle works in our family relationships. Love is the master key of the kingdom of God. But yet it is the one thing that we have our greatest deficit. We've reduced love to a feeling. I know I love you. How do you know? The hair stands up on the back of my neck. Well, it stands up on the back of mine when it's cold. Oh, I know how I love you. I get a burning in my stomach. No, that's from the pepperoni pizza that you purchased at Domino's. And we find that we are hard-pressed to identify love. How do you know that this is the person with whom you should spend the rest of your life? You've allowed your limbic brain, your emotion and feeling brain, to make a decision that should be reserved for your frontal cortex. This person makes you feel a certain way. Truth be told, 27 people can make you feel that way. If I had married everyone that I ever loved, I would have been married to Renee and then Brenda Powell and then Robin Glass and 13, 14 people going through grade school. I would have been married to Mrs. Bayard, my second grade teacher. I loved me some Mrs. Bayard. Oh, God. I came to school early, stayed late, beat the erasers. I volunteered to stay to beat the erasers. And one day her husband came up to pick her up. I would have fought him. I love Mrs. Bayard. But if you can't be with the one you love, she didn't even give me the time of day. I felt like Forrest Gump. Why won't you love me, Mrs. Bayard? I might not be as old as you, but I know what love is. And so against that backdrop, God says that you and I must demonstrate love. And Paul in his apostolic teaching tells us, and I'll read it out of the Living Bible, verse 4, love is very patient and it's kind. It is never jealous, never envious, never boastful, never proud, never haughty, never selfish or rude, and it does not demand its own way. Wait a minute, Paul. You're teaching something that's first century. That doesn't work in 21st century. Yes, it does, because love is timeless. Satan's greatest weapon has been to come in and pervert and pollute love, and in many instances it's lust. And the qualifying difference is that love says from me to you. Lust says from you to me. He has caused us to think that love means that I'm going to walk around and I'm only going to think about myself. No, while I do love myself, I'm not into myself. I want to be the best that I can be so I can give Bethel the best pastor that you are entitled to have. So I take care of my temple so that I can show you a good example of how to take care of your temple. My heart rejoices when I get emails and testimonies of the saints who have gone back to school to further their education. And they say, Pastor, I get my encouragement from you. Because I love myself, I refuse to sit by the side of the road and become a victim or a statistic. But I take that love and pass it on to encourage others. I'm not jealous when you go to get your degree. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I don't want what you have. I want what God has for me. So if you drive up in a Maserati, you're taking me for a ride. But I don't want your blessing. Because I don't want your payments. You get a Maserati in the hood, you got to hire a security guard to watch it. Because though you pay $700,000 for your car, little Johnny is going to run his $10 bike into it. And so love is not jealous. I don't want what you have. I don't want your wife or your husband. I don't want what you have. You have exactly who God wants you to have, and you just better settle on that. They may not be all you want. Listen, 8 out of 10 ain't bad. Some of you in here right now, you got an 80% marriage. Say amen. Happy with your 80%.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Strengthening the Family, or the program number 05119A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.